You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. And, Shogger, today's post-season avails with the players had a much different feel than anyone I can recall before. I think there was still a lot of heartache from that one, but a little bit more reflection that they got to eliminate the mistakes that a lot of times are self-induced rather than the other team pressuring them.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I thought, they definitely had a bit of a different feel to them. Honestly, though, man, the thing that stood out to me most today was Connor McDavid speaking openly about his feelings about the organization, what they've built here, that he feels, you know, following through. I think what he said was, you know, following through with our core group, that's what it's all about. So, you know, we ask these questions to McDavid at the tail end of all these years, and it's like, you know, a pile in a row here where there's been disappointment attached. And this year, I felt like he just gave a much more detailed, kind of heartfelt answer. I haven't heard him speak with that level of pride in being an Oiler and what they've built. So to me, there was a different tone from Connor McDavid today about questions about, you know, and it wasn't so much about his future, like, are you going to sign? Is Leon going to sign? It wasn't so much that. It's more like, it was just more about, you know, how important it is, because the future is unknown. It is uncertain what's going to happen here to get this done together. So to me, that was the standout comment for me today. It was from McDavid talking about the organization.
Yeah, well, it would be foolish for anyone to ask him if he's going to sign when he's got 3 years left on his contract. Like, no one knows what can happen in the next two seasons. Lots can change. So,
Well, exactly. Go ahead, sorry.
And a player can always say they're going to sign. Ask Calgary fans what Gaudreau and Tkachuk said at the end of last season.
Right. No, for sure. But the point I would make to that is that there's one more season of quiet in this market. And that's it. And then things start to get very complicated, and that's when the discussions begin, or after next season. Because look at everything that Austin Matthews just went through this season here in Toronto and all the discussion about his future. Because everybody knows that this summer is a turning point. You're not letting Austin Matthews walk into his unrestricted year without a deal on the table and into that no-trade situation without a deal on the table, right? So that's where Leon Draisaitl lands after next season. This is the last season of these two just being signed where all stays quiet, right? All of those things start to come into play. And the organization's strategy about how to get McDavid and Draisaitl done, if they can get them done, can they keep them both? How much can you pay them? How much is the cap going to go up? There's one more season of quiet on that front, and then it gets very loud and complicated, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, potentially. I've seen more players sign contracts in the final year before they go to free agency. They like to wait it out, kind of see where it goes. So I wouldn't be shocked, especially because, you know, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are very tight. I think everybody knows that. You know, if they wanted to, you know, they could literally sign contracts within 24 hours if they wanted to, where Draisaitl waits until the last day of free agency, and then McDavid signs on July 1st. So, you know, they could do that if they wanted to for effect. So I get it. People don't want to risk losing the player for nothing. Totally understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stamkos walked it very close, never left. There's been a few others, but yeah, it's not ideal for sure. But that, you know, that's a few years away until then. To me, the bigger question is, what changes are they going to make for next season from the Edmonton Oilers? Obviously, you heard lots of players talk about they got to be better in limiting their mistakes as a group, but there's still going to be changes on this team. There's no question about it. And the big one to me, I start at defense. They want to limit goals. It starts at defense. And like Philip Roberg, do you see him being an Edmonton Oiler at the start of next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Oilers need to change. I think they need one more top four defenseman, like a legit top four defenseman. And when they signed Cody Ceci and they paid him what he did, we all kind of went, is he going to be a top four guy here? Well, on this blue line, he is. That's kind of what we said. Potentially, he will be on this blue line. Well, this blue line has changed because now they got Matthias Ekholm, and Evan Bouchard is, like, firmly planted in there. And so it's a bit of a different shape now. And I think for them to take the step and be a contending D-core, and this is no disrespect to Cody Ceci. You know, he played hurt for a lot of this year. He was good last year and in the playoffs. Like, he's a good defenseman. But I think to be a contender, if they can upgrade themselves at that spot in the top four, I think that's important. So that means there isn't room for Kulak and for Ceci. If Broberg needs to be part of a package to return the proper defenseman, then I think you probably consider that if you're the Oilers. But I don't think you're just trading Philip Broberg to trade Philip Broberg. I think he's part of the plan. But if he's the cost of upgrading, I think you consider it.
Yeah, the concern I have with Broberg is his developmental curve is a little bit behind the Oilers' championship aspirations. That's going to be the challenge to see kind of how he can improve. And, you know, maybe he can take a big step next year. It's very possible. But I think that's the big discussion in the offseason for the Oilers. The other one is, and, you know, I wrote it today at OilersNation.com. I said I'd tell you about it today on the show. That,
Forgot. What's the reveal?
Kyler Yamamoto, a buyout. Actually makes oodles of financial sense.
Yeah.
Because you buy him out, he's a one-third buyout. He'd have a cap hit of $433K this coming season, which would basically save them $2.667, which you could sign two players for at that, like two bottom six guys. And then it would only be a $533K. And I don't love buyouts. I don't love the – because, hey, that's what you got Nick Bjugstad for, is essentially $500K when you got Arizona to retain a little bit of salary, right? So it's not ideal. But it's one where I would consider it if I'm the Edmonton Oilers. I think they would look for a trade first. And maybe Yamamoto and Broberg can be part of something potentially. But if you can't facilitate a trade, I think a buyout would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I you know, based on the case you lay out there, I agree. I do think that a player that makes as much as he does who – you're kind of uncertain of what you're going to get from him offensively. I agree that you probably need an upgrade there, but it's hard to do. I think there's a good chance, like, the cap is going to go up over the next couple of years here. I know it's not as fast as fans might want, but that is going to change the shape of things. And so the Oilers, you know, Evan Bouchard's going to get a raise. We believe they'll likely bridge him, but he's going to get a raise. They've got Skinner's contract done already, right? That's an important one. They still have the ability to add a decent player here over the next couple of seasons with the cap going up. And so, yeah, you need to create space. And the fewer guys you have being overpaid, the better. He's definitely one of them at this moment. And I agree with you. I think they'll explore trade. They'll try and figure out a way to move him if they can and add maybe a different type of player into that spot.
Yeah, it'll be a fascinating one for sure. Did you find it interesting at all? Now, I know there were only six people were asking why didn't Ryan Nugent-Hopkins speak. Well, basically, there were six people that you could speak to today on the podium anyway. McDavid, Draisaitl, they Nurse didn't speak.
Yeah.
Nugent-Hopkins didn't speak. Bouchard didn't speak. I don't really think it means much more. I think some people were frustrated about Nugent-Hopkins' playoffs because I think the 100-point season, people looked at that and said, okay, that's who he is. And I always thought the 100-point season was like a perfect storm for Nugent Hopkins. If you look at his point totals in the playoffs, his point totals are fine. His goal scoring wasn't. His overall play defensively wasn't. But the one thing, I went back and I was watching some of the games again. I noticed that Bjugstad was the center when they loaded up McDavid and Draisaitl in that Vegas series. So I wonder for next year, does Jay Woodcroft just have to get away from the crutch that is McDavid and Draisaitl together and just say, you know what, I'm sticking with guys and say, we got to win without him because otherwise, because if you don't think Nugent Hopkins is a center, because you didn't put him there when Nick Bjugstad was there, I don't know if they can go out and get another option. So is it better off to just say enough's enough, McDavid, Draisaitl, other than the odd shift after a faceoff or not, I'm not starting games with those two on the same line.
Yeah, I think we could see a ton of 11-7 next year. I do.
Hmm.
I think that...
So they just keep Broberg?
Yeah.
And they keep the same 7D?
Well, I mean, no, I still think they need to make a change in their blue line next year. So I don't know if they'll do that in the off season or if it's a trade deadline thing. I'm not sure. I mean, the blue line they have right now, we've seen, is good enough to get them to a certain point. I'm just not sure if it's good enough to get them over the hump in the playoffs. So whether they choose to upgrade it off season, regular season, trade deadline, I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like we could see a lot of 11-7. I think maybe in the grand analysis of things, I think Jay Woodcroft just functions a little better in an 11-7 format. And I think it makes the Oilers more complicated to play against in an 11-7 format. I think their record was good playing 11-7. Now, some guys come along. Kleem Costin comes along. And, okay, there's a player you like, that player. You want to have him in your lineup. You know, Janmark, valuable penalty killer. You want to have him in your lineup. So when you've got 12 good forwards, you know, it's harder to go 11-7. But if Dernier takes a step forward next year in his development, and if Broberg continues to develop here, I think you could see a lot of 11-7 next year. And that definitely changes where Nugent Hopkins plays.
Good one. We will chat with you tomorrow. There's lots more to digest. We'll hear from the coach and the GM tomorrow.
Yeah, you bet, buddy. Have a great one.